My name is Legion, for we are many. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Throughout the Bible, we hear of most exotic lands. The kingdom of heaven, never heard before Jesus spoke it. The bosom of Abraham, never heard of before Jesus revealed it. The Garden of Eden. In today's gospel lesson, the land of Gad. Yet these are not physical locales exactly, or maybe I should say not merely physical locales. You cannot get in your Galilean boat in any state of mind and sail to them. We can't imagine scientists climbing a mighty mountain to look into this kingdom of heaven business. St. Luke goes out of his way to emphasize this in depicting the land of Gad. For the boat carrying Jesus on this expedition must pass through a hair-raising tempest in order to get there, as if passing through a wormhole, we would say today. Commentators from antiquity and later have written that the land of Gad is an impossible geography, as we have described in the past. Truly, these places are not geographies, at least not ones that we might sail to. They have more to do with our state of being than with our GPS position. Consider the two most important passages of the Holy Scriptures, proceeding from the God-man, Jesus, and from the forerunner, John the Baptist. As Jesus enunciate the very first words of his three-year ministry, he declares, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." That is the good news of the kingdom of heaven drawing near. The words of John the Baptist are nearly identical. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In both cases, the message is twofold. First, turn back. And two, the kingdom of heaven is near. Let us avoid the translation, repent. Unfortunately, in our own time, the word summons up a New Yorker magazine cartoon featuring a man with a long white beard, wearing a white gown, standing on a street corner with a big sign. The Greek word is metanoiete. It means make a U-turn. It is a word signifying inner transformation. Here, too, we must be cautious, for in our progress-dominated minds, we see transformation always in terms of evolution, implying forward movement. But this is not the message declared by the forerunner or by the Son of God. In fact, their message is the precise opposite. They exhort us to turn back, returning to an earlier and better life. The destination they have in mind, of course, is Eden. St. John the Baptist is the man of Eden, eating only a manna of honey bread on Crete, dressed only in natural clothes, and fragrant of the morning of the earth. His purity attracted everyone, the Gospels report, to his ministry of purity, of cleansing. Jesus of Nazareth was and is the embodiment of Eden, for he uniquely is both perfectly noetic, a perfectly noetic being, and a perfectly material being. Or better said, Eden is the most perfect, most fulfilled representation of life in all the creation, for it alone manifests its creator, As an aside, this is why the Orthodox Church teaches that humans are higher than the angels. And the Garden of Eden is higher than an imaginary geography of only spirits, which, by the way, doesn't exist. Well, perhaps it exists in hell, but I understand that hell, the demons have company there too. Eden too is fully noetic and fully material. This was the glory of Adam and Eve. Like their creator, they alone were fully divine and fully human, in perfect balance and in flawless expression. When Jesus uses the phrase, the time is fulfilled, this kairos signifies the same ideal, fullness, a superabundance of life, both divine and human. For as he says, the kingdom of God has drawn near. That's what this means. We might picture the air so full of the vapor of God's breath that it is about to rain divine fire. It's heavy. The air is heavy with God. An image borrowed from Luke's description of Pentecost, isn't it? Surrounded by tongues of fire. It is right before you, Jesus says. Don't miss it. Your eyes are so fastened on the flesh, the world, and the devil, you're missing it. Turn back. Make a U-turn. Given the pop Christian vocabulary dominating our own culture, we might expect the word salvation to crop up in this context. Now, here's something that will surprise you. The word salvation is rarely spoken in the Gospels. Not at all in the Gospel of Mark or the Gospel of Matthew. Once in the Gospel of John, and only six times in the Gospel of Luke. In any case, this word is not what people think it is. It does not equate to heaven. Think of the evangelical Christian's question, are you saved? Do you have salvation? What it means, the Greek word is soteria, is the absence of enemies, adversaries standing in your way. Think of a road to Eden, a road to heaven that is cluttered. Salvation means to brush aside the clutter so that you can begin the journey. It is an accessory word. The absence of impediments to Eden, the primary word, is Eden. Well, might we call to mind these basics every day. For this is the sum and total of our faith, a constant godly motion toward Eden, we pray. We call this to mind especially as a spiritual map or a nautical chart set before us as the Son of God sails on to the lost tribe of Gad as only he can. Let us remember that he has been sent by the Father to gather the lost sheep of Israel. As he calls the 12 disciples, he discloses this purpose of their joint ministry. You might think of this as their orientation session. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse lepers, including spiritual lepers. Raise the dead, cast out demons. Matthew 10:5-8. And we must remember that the land of promise and this chosen people were set apart for the purpose of recovering Eden, to undertake yet again God's ideal for human life, where God is connected to humans The subject is always the same. Return to Eden. In the sense, there is no distinction between the phrase, the kingdom of God, and paradise or Eden. Otherwise, how can we say, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come? You see, heaven is not an aggregation of spirits, but rather the perfection of life seen in our Creator. As we were sharing earlier, where in the world is any geography that is purely spiritual? Surely it is not heaven, because the Son of God and the Creator of the universe is fully man. It is not hell, for yes, the demons are spiritual beings, but I understand that they have a lot of company just now. The perfection of life is seen in our Creator. You ask, well, you know, what is excellence? What is perfection? What is the highest of highest? The answer is always the same. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who insists on the high dignity of the body. Indeed, as the risen Christ is fully human, our human nature is most fully expressed in a person of God participating in the Holy Trinity. Yes, the Holy Trinity is composed in some measure, well, in all boundless measures, by human nature. For a person of God is fully human. The lost tribes are all around Jesus, of course. As he journeys through Galilee and Samaria, he crosses lost boundaries of Asher, Naphtali, Zebulun, Issachar, Manasseh, and Ephraim, Joseph's two sons. The four Gospels, however, present only one explicit journey to a tribal land, the land of Gad. Yet, like the kingdom of heaven or the Garden of Eden, Gad is both a physical location and a spiritual landscape. It has a history, though not an auspicious one. For Jacob's son Gad was the issue not of Leah or Rachel to whom he is married, but rather of Zilpah, the slave of Leah, who was given him for sexual pleasure. In this sense, Gad is analogous to Ishmael, the issue of Hagar, Sarah's maidservant. You know, I've had naive people come to me to prove that the Bible approves polygamy. And I said, if you believe fondly that everything that's in the Bible is approved by God, then you need to begin at Sunday school and work your way forward. As Jesus arrives to God's historic homeland, we soon realize that the vocation of this ancient tribe of Israel has veered from God's ideal. We have this tradition going back, I think, to late antiquity, known as the vestiges of paradise. The vestiges of paradise. You see it here and there. And if we should see a man unclothed, trying to get back to the wilderness, is he not a refugee from Eden? Who in the Bible is unclothed? And the wilderness always signifies purification. Who is the number one target for the demons then? Well, this obstreperous man in the death camp who can't keep his mouth shut. Sisters, the number one target for the demons are yourselves, because you are holy. They ignore those who they already have in the bag, to use a Haitian expression. Tonton Makout's bag. And Gad, therefore, turns out to be the antipodes of Eden, the furthest extreme in the universe from God's ideal for human life. We do not err to call the land of Gad the anti-Eden. As Jesus arrives, he beholds the culture of death incarnate, men living in tombs, bound in chains, presumably enslaved to gross sin. They are literally bound to earthly life. Their diet is the filthy and forbidden flesh of swine. Demons overrun the place, for they manifest themselves not in ones and twos, but in legions. When they meet the Lord of Life, they plead with him to depart. Wait a second. Do we not know this voice? Have we not heard this before in the Gospels? Quote, an unclean spirit cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Mark 1:24. And in St. Matthew's version of Jesus' visit to the Gadarenes, quote, two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, cried out, saying, "What have you to do with us, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" From our gospel lesson, but in Matthew's version. And is this not the attitude of all Gadarenes as the demons of God run rampant in a field of victory? Go away. We don't want you here. Now, what on earth could impel one to send away a healer or a life giver, except to be the disease itself? Only disease fears healing. None other than death, the trajectory and blueprint of disease, sends away the giver of life. Yes, this most certainly is the anti-Eden. Rather than being a place of eternal life, it is the place and culture of death. Rather than being a place of ultimate freedom, it is the place of enslavement and chains. Rather than cultivating fragrant groves offering up fruit of the vine, it is the place of filthy and forbidden food. Rather than being a place abounding with Eden's flora and fauna, Gad is the place of death, of tombs, and of wailing madness. And we might say the gnashing of teeth. Gad is the outer darkness, Matthew 8:12. What does this mean for us? The kingdom of God has come near. It is fully present all around us as the holy fire of God's breath stirs in every living thing. We need only reject what is unworthy in our lives. To step through this thinnest of veils between ourselves and Eden. It is within our reach. We need only reclaim the lightness of being, a balance between the noetic and the material, of the cleansed soul and purified will held in balance with a blameless body and a blameless fleshly will, we might say. Finally, perfect freedom and peace. This is life. This is Eden. The furthest point and opposite end of this life we discover as Jesus lands upon the shores of Gad. A land founded to recover Eden has become a lost world, perdition. Like Eve and then Adam, who chose separation from God, which is always the anti-life, the Gadarenes have arrived to the furthest extreme from Eden, which was always so close, around them and within them. For all ungodly choices must by that fact be anti-Eden. The soul can never be void. Either it is filled with divine life and purpose, which we call the Holy Spirit, or it is filled with demons, with whom the Holy Spirit can never cohabit. Does not Jesus constantly tell us you are either in or out? You are either hot or cold. There is no middle ground. Jesus, his forerunner John the Baptist, and then later the disciples and apostles, exhort the lost sheep of Israel to return to Eden. Their message rings out down the ages to our life world. Metanoite, turn back, for the kingdom of God has drawn near. St. John the Baptist appears as the man of Eden in his manner, language, and dress, his daily manna bread, which he eats, and bids all people through Judea and beyond to return to Eden. His life as a Nazarite bespoke purity. He eschews everything that stinks of the cities of Cain and the sumptuous halls of luxury. His very appearance calls out to them. Come with me to Eden. Let us depart from the city fleshpots. His ministry of baptism, of course, centers on purification, recovering the original and pristine in our lives. We have contemplated here many times how hard the apostles had to labor to point the people to Jesus, not him, not John the Baptist. So prepossessed were they by this idea, which always rings true, of returning to our original innocence. The Lord of life bids us reclaim our original innocent nature, for he knows, he made us, that all humans are born with this nature, with this birthright to Eden. He teaches, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Mark 10:14. Every person born into the world, so the Orthodox Church teaches, is possessed of this innocent nature. Each of us begins in Eden. Some of us, though sadly few, have remained in that innocence all their lives. These are not the ones for whom the forerunner and the Son of God were sent into the world. Tragically, our world is a broken one, as so many have consented to the life of Gad. They live in chains with their drugs and pornography and alcohol and out of bounds desires. Their element has become the forbidden and the filthy. They are the lost sheep whom Jesus and his disciples seek. Do we not see in Gad an image of our own lost land? In 2017, roughly 20 million Americans battled an addiction to drugs or alcohol. 40 million regularly use pornography. Every year, 20 million Americans present with new STDs. Who can doubt that Christians are marginalized, even hated, because they love the Lord of life? Get into your boat and depart, our culture tells us. For the disease hates the healer, and death cringes in terror before the Lord of life. I used to have a parishioner who would tell me when we were in difficult circumstances with fallen company, Father, be careful, you're making their demons tap dance. The Lord presents himself today. He will appear here before us shortly. For he has promised he will be with us to the end of the age. He brings healing and acceptance and love. Yes, many will order him to his boat. Yet, he depends on us to be safe places for his light and his love. We must be unfailing presences of his word and his ways and his truth remember the innocence within you and go on loving and trusting and hoping, for this is the heart of a child. And Jesus assures us, this is the stuff of the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.